Y'all give Brother Randy a hand. Amen. We're glad to have him.
Well, amen. I appreciate our music. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, I go to church and they got lights and smoke and dancing bears and all kinds of crazy stuff. Amen. I guess you got to do that to try to get folk in anymore. I don't know, but I don't like that, man. I get that smoke starts going. Man, I used to work with some of them country folk, and they do that smoke. It about choked me to death. And I'd be over coughing, trying to. Woo, I'm just glad you're here. I appreciate my brother's prayer a while ago. Said that pray that Brother Randy would share the words that we need to hear. And you know what? I pray God will share the words I need to hear. Amen. And I know you need to hear these words. It says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You can sing it with me. Go ahead, brother. I love this song. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, a purchase of His Spirit. I've washed in His blood. Thank you. So this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Things happen in church, don't they, amen? If it wasn't for church, I wouldn't have no jokes. I ain't kidding you. I heard a story about the preacher that was preaching on, I reckon, Father's Day, and so he was trying to get their attention a little bit, and he said, all right, I tell you what, all you men who wear the pants in your family, I want you to get up and come over here and stand on this side of church, and all you men whose wives wear the pants in the family, I want you to get up and come over here on this side. So all the men start getting up, noise, and directly every man standing over here. There's one little bitty fella about 80 pounds over here. And the preacher looked over and said, sir, He said, you mean to tell me that in all this church, you're the only man that wears the pants in his family in this church? He kind of stuttered. He said, preacher, I don't know about that. My wife just told me to get up and come stand over here on this side of church. Amen. Yeah, and I know I told y'all about the feller that left church one Sunday morning. I'm sure I told this story here, but he left church and he's mad. He slammed the door going out to church and slammed the door getting in the truck, didn't say nothing going home, and got to the house, slammed the door again, and then he got in the chair, kicked his shoes off, put his feet up, didn't say nothing. She went in there, got lunch started, and reckon she come back. She said, well, I reckon you might ought to tell me what I done. He said, I'll tell you what you done. He said, you went up there and told that preacher everything I did all week long. He said, he preached on everything, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Everything, you made a list. She said, you crazy. I ain't told that preacher nothing. He said, yes, you did. You're lying. You must have made a list because he did. I mean, it was to the letter. She said, I'll tell you what, Smarty. She said, you go back down there next Sunday real early. And you get in that side room over there by the pulpit that he won't even see, won't even know you there, and I bet you $10 he'll preach on the same things you do this week. And you know how we kind of bob our head. Okay, I do it. So next Sunday he got down there early, got in that side room, and that preacher went to preaching. Oh, he's jumping up and down. Oh, he said, I'll tell you what I ought to do. I ought to turn the devil loose on some of you. I got him locked up in this little room right over here by the pulpit. I wonder how that ride home went, amen?
That's funny. Well, I want you to listen to this. Ron
and Jim went to church. They went to church one Sunday. And, of course, you know, they know each other, but they not that well known. Then one's sitting in one part of the church, one's sitting in another. And so here's what happened. I wrote this down because I thought this was pretty good. Ron noticed that the organist missed a note, and, boy, he just kind of winced, okay? He saw a teenager talking during the prayer, and boy, just ticked him off. The offering plate come around, and he was sure that the usher was watching him put his dollar in. And then five times the preacher made a mistake, a slip of the tongue, and it just bothered him, just boiled him. Finally, he got up and went out the back door during the invitation and said, well, that was a whole waste of time. And then Jim notice that the pianist played, What a Mighty Fortress Is Our God. He liked to have a shouting mule spooking fit. And then a special missionary offering was taken, and he was glad that his church had the gumption to support missionaries to go share the gospel. Isn't that something? He was greatly stirred by the message that day as it addressed a particular need in his life. And as he shook the preacher's hand as he went out, he said, preacher, I want you to know how awesome. How can anybody not listen to that message, just not be stirred? Each one of those men attended the same service. Each one heard the same message, but each one found what they were looking for. You starting to get this? Churches and banks are a lot alike. What one gets out is coherent and dependent on pretty much what one puts in. Isn't it amazing that 100, 120, whatever people, by the way, you look good tonight. Praise God. You just look great. Amen. Well, y'all look so good. Some of y'all ain't pretty. Y'all know who I'm talking about, but you're looking good. Amen. But I want you to know, man, just it's so nice to come to church and sing the songs about Jesus and about, oh, how he loves me, and just a fellowship. You know, I love that about this place. Man, y'all, listen, they do that in my church. I had to find out, all right, y'all, sit down. Because they'll keep on till noon. They just keep right on going on Sunday morning. You got to call them down. They love the fellowship. And that's the way it ought to be. It ought to be like that in every church. You ought to be, listen, you know how it goes. If you sit on this side, you hardly ever go to that side, amen? True. Come on now, come on. You have to move over to the other side of Egypt, go shake somebody's hand. Hey, how y'all over here? Yeah, the way I'm fitting to say, that'd be the best thing to do. But I want you to know it's just a blessing to be able to come to a church where people love to sing the song, they love to hear the preaching. They have a smile on their face. They have joy. And I know everybody's not like that, but don't you understand something? You know, when you have this many people, some folk going to get one thing, some folk going to get another. Isn't it amazing that the same singing, the same preaching, the same spirit runs through a church, but different people? If you was to ask everybody in here after the service tonight, well, what did you get? Probably be something totally different from everyone. Now, that's a good thing, too, because that's somewhat how God works, okay? God moves in that way. In other words, my brother Bill and I was talking a while ago about Proverbs. You ought to read a proverb every day. Today's the second. You ought to read the second proverb. You go across that thing every 30 days, 31 days, and you will find out that next month when you get to the second, it'll be totally different because you're different. You better be different. You better have grown, but it will be relevant to your life at that moment. And I want you to understand, my friend, that's how God works. He's fresh. He's new. His mercy is new every morning. Amen. Praise God. Great is thy faithfulness, the Bible says. And that's why it's so awesome to serve him. I'm going to tell you, I ain't never worked with anybody or worked for anybody that's like God. I love it that Stephen Curtis Chapman did many years ago, The Great Adventure. Shoo, it's a great, you never know. Boy, I get up morning, all right, Lord, what you going to do today? Woo, what you going to do today, Lord, what you going to do? Hey, it's going to be good. I guarantee it's going to be good. And you're going to be like, great day, I ain't never seen nothing like that. And if you don't, you had a bad day. I get out looking for something God to do crazy. Amen? I'm telling you, last night I talked about that moment. You know, if you're here, you're not here, whatever the case may be. I got in my truck and I had a message from my chief, and he said, there's a man in a wheelchair under a truck on 341. He said, get here quick as you can. So I flew low to Brunswick, and I got there pretty much in time for they were finishing cleaning up, and he did not make it. And so as we were preaching the gospel last night, someone died. And, of course, many people died. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's right there at my house. That's right down the street from my house. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. The wife asked the chaplain that I called to be there because I couldn't be there yet. She said, you think he's in heaven? Isn't it amazing that people start thinking about heaven when death shows up? It's sad, but a lot of people are that way. As I talked about earlier about the funerals and things, I think that sometimes when we get in those situations, we find ourselves thinking about that. I want you to go to Acts chapter 4. We're going to talk about the church that Jesus wants. Amen? Amen. Not the church the deacons want, not the church the people want, not the church the board or whoever want. The church that God wants, that Jesus Christ wants. Because here's the deal. What's on that sign out there? Bloomingdale Baptist. Excuse me. Bloomingdale. South Newington what? Baptist Church. You got church on your sign. Now, would you be surprised that different people have different ideas about church? All of us in here pretty much think church is a good thing. That's a good word. But to some folk, and there may be some sitting here, you say that word church. I'd have gotten a fight in Oregon, Roseburg, Oregon, because I said preacher. I was in a spa store with my big buddy Tim. Now, I wasn't sick then. I was healthy. I was benching about 350, and I was pretty chunky. Amen. I was a hefty three-ply with tie handles. I ain't lying. I was, woo. Now, my bubble was in the middle. I was on the level. Amen. I was a pretty big boy. And we just walking around, killing time, and we walked into a spa store, and there's a man in there, and he's buying a spa. And I was like, hey, man, that's great. You going to buy it? He said, yeah, I've had one for 20 years. I need to replace. I said, great. You get your big one, invite your preacher over, and Lord have mercy. You'd have thought I slapped the Pope. Here he come at me, and I'm like, all right, well, that's good. We're here on Saturday night, start revival on Sunday. I'm going to knock a man out on Saturday night. That's going to go over big. I bet that'll help the offering, amen. Preacher knocks out man in the spa store. And my big buddy Tim just kind of stepped in front of him. Listen, you can say certain words, and you'll get folks' attention. You'll get their ire up, amen, because many folk. You know, somebody said one time, the reason folk don't come to church is because they already been. Ooh. Yeah, think about that a second. Because I want you to understand, at any time a visitor can walk through that door, Somebody that does not know this place can walk through that door. Somebody that is lost and going to hell can walk through that door. And what they hear and what they see and what they experience, my friend, ought to be the very best that we can offer. Man, if the preacher's coming over for Sunday lunch, you're not going to throw some paper plates out there and some you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken little things with the napkin and the little spoony fork thing in it. You're going to put out the stuff. Come on, if the governor's coming over, is that what you're going to? Well, governor, we just had some paper plates. I knew you'd like them. There ain't no way on God's green earth you'd do that. You would put the dog on. I mean, and you'd lock the dog up. Amen. Hello. Lock the dog up, put the dog on. And I mean, be like, woo, Mama, I ain't never seen this China. That's all right, son. We keep it locked up for the special occasions. Why? That's special. Every time we walk in this place, it ought to be the most special, most spectacular, most awe-inspiring thing that happens. Because let me tell you, look here in chapter 4 what happened. We're going to go to Acts chapter 4. We're going to begin with verse 23. And I'm going to just read a little bit of it, and then we're going to kind of move on here, okay? Let me find this place here and get where I need to be. Of course, as you know, Peter and John had been before the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees. You know, they were Sadducees. That's why they were Sadducees, amen? And so they are the religious folk. They think they got all this, and they know everything. And, man, they're wandering around and bumming around each other. And here comes Peter and John, and they're talking about the resurrection of Jesus. And the Bible says they laid hold on them, and they grabbed them, and they took them before the Sanhedrin. And when it was all said and done, they said, look at him. Hush. Don't be talking about this Jesus no more. What did he say? Hey, we're gonna please God or man? We're going to please God. If you don't like it, too bad, brother. Tough. Get over it. Build a bridge and get over it. And so they didn't know what to do with them. Amen. Bless God. Isn't that great? Sometimes you just don't know what to do with a bunch of Christians to get fired up for God. You just got to get out their way. And that's exactly what happened right here. I'm telling you, the Spirit, the Bible says Peter filled with the Spirit. When the Spirit of God gets in you, I promise you, you're going to bust up in somebody's parade and you're going to rain on it. You'll rain on it. Because some of them think they're free and clear to do as they please. And boy, when they're confronted with the gospel, my friend, they'll get it agitated. You want to agitate some folks? Start preaching the gospel to them. They'll get mad at you, and they'll tell on you, and they'll cuss you, and they'll do everything. Amen. They'll get after you. They'll slam a door in your face. My friend, they'll talk about you, about all the things. Listen, if I have been able to done half of the stuff that's been told about me that I could do, I'd be King Kong. Amen. I told somebody when I said, boy, I wish I could have done that. That'd have probably been fun. I ain't going to tell you what they said, but I said, it'd probably been fun. Ain't no way I can do all that stuff. Amen. Verse 23, though. Let me find that rascal. Get this light up here. I don't have the numbers in here like y'all got. They kind of scatter about. And being let go, after they had talked to them, after they had spent this time with them and grilled them and drilled them, didn't know what to do with them, they just had to let them go. And so look what it says. And being let go, they went to their own companions. They didn't go to the house. They didn't go to the Cracker Barrel. That would have been a good place. Or the IHOP. They went to their church. They went to their companions and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said to them. So when they heard that they had raised their voice to God, So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God and with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in heaven, who by your mouth of your servant David have said, and if they quote Psalms chapter 2, why did the nations rage and the people plot to blame vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look at their hearts and grant to your servants with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of the holy servant Jesus. Whew, man. Now, do y'all understand what's going on here? These folk ain't just parking out in the parking lot and walking up into the church and talking and having a good time. The doors are probably locked where they are. They snuck in to wherever they went, because I'm going to tell you something. The police are after them. The guards are at the army, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin. They're after these Christians. They are scared of them. Now, I need to tell you something about that. I'm going to be honest with you. I know a lot of us think we're scared of everybody else. I meet a lot of Christians who are very timid, very nervous about sharing their faith. And boy, if the Lord got a hold of somebody in the service and they started cutting loose, half of them would probably fall out in the floor and crawl out the door and get out of here and never come back. You ever been to one of them welcome congregational holiness churches? Amen. Come on. First time I went up in one of them, I was 7 years old. And when the preacher said, "Let's pray," every person in the place started praying out loud at the same time. I didn't know what in the world was happening. I was looking around and ducking, and me and my sister, we were there to sing. We didn't know they was doing all that. And I'm telling you, folk, they never got quiet from the moment we walked in that place until the time we left. And you know what all I could think about was Antioch Baptist Church. I'm thinking, Lord, them people would have a fit. They'd have a business meeting of some kind to put a stop to that. Man, ain't going to have all that noise up in the church. We're reverent. We're just going to be reverent in the church. That's just inappropriate. It's not going to do that in the church of God. Well, yes, you do in the church of God. You run through doors and yell and shout and scream, swing from the chandeliers. Amen? And that's what them folk do. So Peter and John, they have stood up to a bunch of folk who are lost. And what did God do? He just filled them. He didn't leave him alone. Ladies and gentlemen, he ain't going to leave you alone neither. And if you'll let him fill you with the Spirit of God, you need to understand you will become the church that God wants, and you will stay the church. Let me tell you something. Y'all about as close as anybody I've seen in a long time to being the church that God wants. And that's what we want to talk about. Four things that idea, healthy church. Signs in Acts chapter 4, and we're going to go kind of back and forth here, that the church is healthy, that things are good. Some signs that you can get a hold of that will help you realize what's going on in the church. Okay, and the church is indicative of what? The people. The people. Not a couple, not a few. You know, you always got that one that says amen all the time, or that one that speaks in tongues in the church of God. And you know when you're going to gather, they're going to do that. That's what they do. And everybody else just sits back and watches. You know, this ain't no fishbowl for Christians. Amen? Come on. This ain't no aquarium. This ain't Aquarium Baptist Church. This is a soul-filling station for folk to get filled. You go to gas station, what, to stay for 10, 12 hours? No. You get some gas and you get. You come to church. You get your gas tank full, and you get on out here. And you go out there and you tell somebody about Jesus. Number one, four things that idea healthy. Remember, there'll be a sense of belonging. Verse 23 says, they went to their own companions. No, 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 no ownership in that place. There was no my way. There was no I think. No, well, we say, and no piece of, here's somebody talking about giving you a piece of mind. Amen. I've done it. I give them a piece of my mind. Tell them what for, teach them everything I know, takes me 5 minutes, usually sets them back about 5 years, amen? Somebody said, if you keep giving folk a piece of your mind, you won't have none left for too long. And that's what some folk do. I think some folk come to church just to fight. They leave their armor at the door, so when they come back in, they can pick it up. You ever been in a clinking Baptist church? They come clinking in, clink, clink. Got all the armor, got my spear. Got my helmet, got my sword and my shield. I'm ready for the fight. And when they get done, they'll leave it at the door. Both folk, the fight's out yonder. When there is a sense of belonging, my friend, there is no my way. There is no I think. Well, if you ask me, there is no we're going to do it this way. No, my friend, we're going to do it God's way. And when you have a sense of belonging, we're going to talk about it, there is a unity of that. There is no splinter. There is no split. I heard about the man that was deserted on the island. Amen. Y'all heard about him? And when they finally got to him to rescue him, it was about 15, 20 years later, there was two churches and a house. And they said, well, we understand the house and a church. Why is there two churches? Hey, I built the first one, and then we had a split. Now, that's pretty bad when you split with your own self, amen? Amen. Come on. So when you have, when you've ever heard from the average church member, well, God says in book and verse. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Usually here, I think, I believe. But when's the last time somebody said, well, you know what God says about that? And gives you a verse and a book? Come on now. We always have an opinion. But when is the last time you told somebody in the midst of a conflict, well, let me tell you what God says because I read it this morning. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, I have stopped a lot of controversy that way. If I tell them what I think, it's on. They're going to come back with their thing. But it always amazes me that when I say, well, you know what? It's amazing that God says something about that in John chapter 4, verse 1. He does. I rode with a police officer one night. All he liked to do was curse. When he see me coming, he start GDing and effing, and he'd go crazy just because I was the preacher. He hated preachers. Well, I helped them find a murder weapon in a drive-by shooting. I got out there at 3 o'clock in the morning and found the thing. I stepped on it. Said, ha-ha, whoa, here it is. Somebody tossed it out the window. We went out there looking for it, and somebody said, preacher, you want to go with us? I said, yeah, let's go. Let's go. Get in the car. And, of course, he looked at me kind of funny like, whoa, what? So got in the car, went out there, and they're all kicking around in the bushes, and I just stepped on the thing. And I went, hey, here it is. Well, that impressed him. So we get back to the station, and he says, hey, you want to ride with me? And the first thing in my head, no, I don't like you. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to go to the house. Mama's waiting on me at the house. You don't look nothing like Mama. And God said, get in that car. Her. I got in that car, and for two solid, and let me tell you what he did. He said, of course, we finally got around to why he didn't go to church. He went to church as a 10-year-old, and he said, and this is what he said. Now, I figured out what he meant. He said, they told me that I had to pay $10 to get out of that church. Now, you know good and well they didn't say that. What they probably said, I figured this out, they probably had a guest speaker, and the preacher probably said, you know what, everybody in this room could give $10 tonight to go to the speaker. But that little 10-year-old heard, I got to give them $10 or they're not going to let me out. And he never went back to church. So for two solid hours, everything that man said, I said, and God gave me, I said, you know, the Bible says something about that. He'd say the same thing. It does. And I would tell him what it said. I preached to that man for 2 hours, and he still don't know it to this day. And he told me I'll never come to church. I didn't condemn him. I didn't judge him. I didn't tell him he was flat wrong. I just listened. Come on now. Sometimes you've got to hear some stuff you don't want to hear. Don't let it throw you. Ain't nothing you ain't heard, and probably ain't nothing some of you said. Just get over it. Come on. You're in the ministry. That's called the war. You're going to get blood on your guts and all dirt. And come on, man. This is a battle. Get dirty. That's what's wrong with some of us. We're too clean. We forgot what it was like to be lost. And now we sit in a pew. And it's all good now. As long as they come in here, we're good. But we got to go out there. No, I'm going to the house. I'll never come to church, Brother Andy. 2 weeks later, I come out to start the service on the front row, set that bald-headed rascal right there. I went out and said, Craig, what are you doing? You told me you weren't coming to church. And I counted on that. He kind of laughed. He said, I don't know why I came to church. I said, I do, because I preached to you for 2 hours, and the Bible says the word of God never returns void. Gotcha. Don't ask me to ride with you no more, brother. You're going to get a sermon. And we might take up an offering. Hello, amen. He gave his heart to Christ that day. Gave his heart to Christ. The man who hated preachers, who hated church, who cussed like a sailor, and who would never come to church. Don't tell me that. I don't believe none of that, amen. I believe you out of your mind, okay? And that's what you out of your heart, you out of your mind. And when God gets a hold of you, he'll fix all that and straighten you out. And you got some friends like that. And Peter and John did that with these men. They didn't judge them. They didn't get ugly. They didn't raise their voice. They just told them what the Word of God said. And that's what happened. And these men begin to deal with that. So this is the person that I want to hear. This person that will answer you with Scripture. That's the person I want to hear. These men went back to the folk that they trusted, that they genuinely loved. Come on now. Come on. When you get in trouble, what do? You hunt them folk you know you can count on.
This ought to be the place. This ought to be the place when you get in trouble. It ought not be the situation that you get in a mess out there, but you can't come here because it's too embarrassing, because the folk are going to shun you.
I hate to say this, but I have seen folk in the bar be more compassionate and genuine many times than folk in the church. I'm sorry. And like I said, what's on our sign? Church. And when you look in the Word of God at church, there's a sense of belonging in the first church. Because when these men, y'all been in jail? Peter, what you doing in jail? You been up there fighting with the judge? What's wrong with you? Why, don't you come back up in here. You ain't right with God. You just get on out of here. No, they went back to the folk they loved and that they knew and that they trusted and who loved and knew and trusted them. And my friend, that's exactly where we need to be. There was a sense of belonging. It was there. When that happens, when this is what's going to take place. Listen to this. Verse 23, it talks about companionship, the fellowship, the compassion, their own kind, the like-mindedness. Them guys were thinking, let us go. We're going to our folk. We're going back to the house where the folk are gathered, the church is gathered, because I believe, I guarantee you, Peter's saying in his head, they're down there praying for us, and they're waiting to see what God's going to do. Boy, when the church of God begins to get that sense of belonging, boy, you get that companionship. But it also a kindred spirit in verse 23. Their own companions, it says. Listen, there ought not to be anybody in this world, except maybe your family that's not here in this town, that you can depend on and count on and trust more than the people in this room. This ought to be the place you come, man, to lay down on the back pew and somebody rub some salve on you and pick you up and bring you down here and say, come on, brother, we're going to lift you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to get you back in the fight. Amen. This ought to be the mass unit. Amen. Come on. Yeah, right. This ought to be the kindred spirit, but then also the sharing of information. No busybodies. You ever had to tell somebody something, and next thing you know, it's in the newspaper. Sister Jones came to the altar one time and said, preacher, I just want to lay my tongue on the altar. He said, honey, we ain't got one that long. And sadly, that's the case. Now, preacher, I ain't telling nobody but you, okay, amen? You didn't hear this from me. You ever said that? You know, sometimes somebody needs to know they can share something that's hard, something that's tough. I had a lady come out the back door Sunday, and she was crying already and shared some things with me that's pretty tough. And I prayed with her right there, and I said, sweetie, I'll be praying for you. Are you one of those kind of people that somebody can do that with you? Sometimes there's the busy, you can't share information because you know what? When we've got hurt, we need to tell somebody. Now, we'll tell Jesus, but God put us on the planet with other folk just like us. And there's a reason why you got two ears and one mouth. God wants you to be able to love that person, have compassion on that person, and lift them up so that they know they. What happened with Moses? Them boys lifted his arms up, amen? He couldn't do it himself, and sometimes you can't either. And you need somebody. And I hope and pray that you'd be that somebody. But there's also oneness. The Bible says no judgment. They cried out to the Lord. They prayed. Them folk didn't say, well, I don't know if we ought to do that. They're over in the jail. They're over with them judges and the police. Of course, the temple police were there. The police done picked them up. No, we can't do that. We've got a reputation to uphold. No, the Bible says they begin to cry out to God and pray. In oneness. Can you even imagine what would happen if we all begin to knock on the door of heaven with our prayers? If the whole country would begin to pray in unison, in unity, together. That would change this place. But it is evident that something's not clicking. Amen. There's a sense of belonging. Lord, you are God. You know what that phrase, Lord, you are God, literally means? It means absolute maker, absolute master. They wasn't talking to some old boy. They was talking to the absolute master. God, they're down there going through the fire. And God, we know that you are the maker of the fire. Lord, you walk through with the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you can do it again. Lord, do it again. That's what they prayed. And can you imagine while they're praying? Excuse me, we're busy. It's Peter. No, it's not. Come on, stop that. While they's praying, the old boy started knocking on the door. He shows up. Why? God answered the prayer. God answered it. Do you pray with God, expecting God to answer the prayer? Is there a sense of belonging? They praise God as the creator.
They adopted the works of David in Psalms chapter 2. We read that passage. There was a oneness, a true blue togetherness. And I'm going to tell you right now, my friend, as I said, you just can't hardly find that anymore. It's just hard to find. And then in verse 24, the Bible says they prayed together, praying pastors, praying people, praying purpose. You know one thing I just dearly love about your pastor? That brother will pray at the drop of the hat, and he'll even drop the hat. Amen? Amen. Have you ever seen a man that prays more than this man? You know, when you have communication, my friend, you in on the info. You get it, you on the inside. You know what's going on for anybody because you keep it up. You in communicado. I think sometimes we use prayer as that flare prayer thing, you know, kind of like in the glove box whenever there's a problem. Help God, we shoot up that flare prayer. Amen. What about when you got up? Ain't you glad you got up? Well, tell somebody, not just somebody, tell him. He's the one got you up. Tell him. Thank him. Go ahead and develop that line of communication. First thing, and it's there all day. It won't leave you. It will not. Unity. When you pray in unity, unity, unity. We've talked about that and said that. I've heard that word all my life. Unity. I don't even know what that means. I very rarely see it. I mean, come on, guys. You may tell you who's the worst of all? Preachers. You try to get together with a bunch of other preachers and do something. Bless God, they ain't going to talk to you. You might steal some of their members. And I tell them the same. If your member's that stealable, they ain't good for you anyway. You ain't got nothing. Hello, amen? Come on. If they going to run that quick, then they're probably about that deep and about five. Amen? That's where most folk are. They're about that deep and about 5 minutes. Just step into the water. Just won't kind of up to my ankles. I won't get no further. You know what? I want to dive head first and get covered. Most folk I know don't want to do that. Might get my britches wet. Yeah, or you might get them split. Sure, we need to be careful. It can go both ways. Then in verse 31, he says, when they prayed, the place was shaken. Now, them folk are in unity. They're praying in unity. Now, let me tell you something. I believe the cry of mercy will stop deity in its tracks. God says, hey, shh. My folk are praying. When it gets in unity, the place starts shaking. You know you got a hold of God then, amen? Well, I remember back in them days, I was in that singing group, and we'd be in them Pentecostal churches, and man, you remember them? I don't know if you know some of them Church of God women had that hairdo like a beehive up on the head, amen? It's sticking straight up. They couldn't walk through the door. They had to duck, amen? They done been to the parlor, and they got that thing all wrapped around, wound tight, and it's going about that high. And, buddy, when they get in the spirit and start praying, it'd be 11, 12 o'clock before we get done. Man, that hair come a-tumbling down, and they'd get in the spirit. They didn't care what it looked like then. They done blowed about 40 bucks on that hairdo, but they didn't care. Because they was getting a hold of God. And before they left that place, they had done business with the Father. I'm going to tell you something. It's almost like we come to church to get out. I remember one of the first revivals I did, old boy had one of them beeping watches. Beep, 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 beep. Like noon, 12 o'clock, amen. Y'all remember them of those? That thing went off on Sunday morning, and before I knew I'd said it, I said, amen. Halftime's over. He put his hand over that thing trying to hush it. I said, it goes off again, I'm going to add an hour. Amen. I love them people that do this. Raise it up where I can see it. I'm like, yep, I got one right here. See? Right there. I don't need yours. Thank you. God bless you. Glad it's working. Hello. Let me know when it's 3 o'clock. When they prayed, the place was shaking. They were in togetherness. They were in unity. They had compassion on their brethren, my friend. And that's what you and I ought to have. You see somebody come to this altar, you ought to run down here and get on your knees beside them and overshadow them with prayer. Why in the world is it so hard to get folk to come to the altar? I think that's something you need to take up with God. And I know, as I told y'all earlier, we have that personal relationship. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. No, you have a public one. Did you realize that maybe somebody's watching you as their spiritual example? If you don't go to the altar, they're like, well, that's not important. Apparently, because that's a person that I love and I trust, and they never go. What about if you step out of that altar and they're like, hey, whoa. And they come down because you do. Y'all, I'm not saying that you have to come down to the altar. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you ought to want to come down to the altar. You don't have to love your husband or your wife, but you ought to. Ain't no different. It's no different. Freedom of God's Spirit, I believe, begins in this altar. When you say, devil, I hate you. I can sit in this pew, but I'm going to get up, and I'm going to walk down there, and I'm going to say, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, to you.
Because I believe he's maybe sitting up in that balcony. I ain't talking about you now, brother. Amen. Come on. No, he's over here. Praise the Lord. And going, yeah, just sit there. You don't mean it. Just sit there. And I'm not saying that you don't mean it. I'm just saying, I believe when you get up out of that pew, you're telling the devil you mean business. Them folk could have said, well, you know what? We'll just sit here and have some cake and coffee while they're over in the jail being ravaged and beat up. And Lord knows what. They might cut their head off because they done cut off several other old boys' heads. And we'll just hang out. They'll be here directly if they turn them. No, my friend, they got on their knees and they started praying. Sometimes God just tells you to pray, but he don't tell you why. Remember when God told Abraham to go? He didn't tell him where. He just said, go. And Abraham stood up, walked out the door, and just headed down the road. I believe sometimes God may be waiting on you to start praying before he answers. You remember when he got to the tomb of Lazarus? What did he tell him? Roll that rock away. What? He's fixing to raise a man from the dead. He can't roll a rock away from a hole. There are some things he is not going to do. You are going to do it, and he's going to do it through you. And you sit on your do-nothing, that's exactly what will happen. Nothing. Nothing. And then verse 32, they had one heart, one soul. They had all things in common. Love was oozing out every person all over that place. When the last time you got a little love on you, amen? Somebody come and give you a little sugar and patted you on the head or rubbed your neck, shoulder, gave you a hug or said, I love you. Come on, man. Listen, that's something why do we not do that? My daddy didn't tell me he loved me until I was almost grown. That's just something they didn't do. But boy, I trained him because I sort of tell him, Daddy, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I'd hug his neck. And directly, the next thing I know, he'd come at me, son, I love you. Hug my neck. I thought, wow, amen. I hug all my football players. I hug all my police officers. I hug everybody because come on, man, I like that. That's compassion. I go to school to serve. These people come and give me a hug, and they turn around and take off. That's all they wanted. That's all they needed. They just need somebody to say, I love you. You're fine like you are. Head on down the road. Come on, I'll see you later. Sometimes we need to be a little bit compassionate. Stop talking about love. Don't put church out there on your sign if you're not going to be the church. There was a sense of belonging. God's fire produces love. Boy, the fire God gets in you and the fire God gets loose in this place, you're going to see some love. You're going to see folk. You ever seen folk just stand up and start praising the Lord in front of everybody and ain't nobody else doing it? Why? God done got a hold of it. God done lit a fire up in them. Lord, have mercy. We can't stand up in front of all these people. They might see us. Well, they see you sitting down. Why can't they see you standing up? Stand up for Jesus. You can't stand up for Jesus sitting on the premises. Amen? It's just the way it works. God's fire produces love. God's grace always produces fire every time. My friend, let me just say, by giving. I didn't say tithe. Some of y'all think, tithe. There he goes. I didn't say tithe. I said giving. Sometimes a hug is a give. Sometimes that phone call is a give. Sometimes, you know, I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to pray for you. Something's up. I can tell. God told me to pray for you. Well, it might just be a little weird to some folk. Really? You ever apologize to somebody that didn't know why you was apologizing? You did something or you felt like something happened, and for your sake, you wouldn't apologize to them or you asked them to forgive you, and they're looking at you like, huh? It wasn't for them. It was for you. That compassion, that act of giving is not for them necessarily, although it does produce things in them. It's for you. God's going to soften. We can get hard, amen. I ain't talking about in the gym. I'm talking about as hard as like an old mule. It happens to us. It says nothing here about tithe. It says giving everything. Your television, your phone, what's on that radio in the car, what comes out your mouth, what comes in your mind, what you listen to, what you say, how you act, how you respond. God don't want some of you. God wants all of you. And if he can't have all of you, he don't want none of you. This ain't no 99.9 thing. This 100%. All in. I'm here, Lord. Take me. Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. And that's where Peter and John were. That's right. They were. It's God's love. It's God's grace. It's God's spirit. It oozes out of this place that they went to. It oozes out of its people. And my friend, when the church is the church that God wants, that will happen here. Love will just ooze out. You people are like, Lord, how much? I think we ran a girl off from our church the other day because everybody wanted a hug on her, love on her. I think that freaked her out. Look, I looked up about the message time. She was gone. And I thought to myself, well, now, Lord, can we love somebody too much? Maybe so. But if that's how they respond, then I believe God will work on them because of that. You know, we can't say it out of our mouth and not do it with our life. And that's where we get into many times. The litmus test is, do visitors feel that spiritual freedom when they come into this place? Or do they feel a satanic friction? You ever walked in a church and you said, this is the place. I feel it. I feel that spirit. Some of y'all walked into this place and you went, yeah, this is the one. Well, that spirit's here. Because the spirit's here when the folk are here. When the folk are gone, this is just a building. It's just carpet and wood and wall. When the church is here, then the church is here. Then the spirit is here because you are the spirit. So however, whatever shape that you are in as the church, that's what the spirit will be like in this place every time you meet. Every time. There'll be a sense of belonging. But also, there'll be showers of blessings. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Peter and John preached the resurrection of Jesus. That's what got them in trouble. The Sadducees and the priests and the police chaplain or the police of the temple, man, they heard this and man, they laid hold on them. The Bible says that means they grabbed them. And they put them under arrest because they didn't want to hear all that mess. Amen. They arrested them for preaching Jesus. Now, does that sound like blessing? If you hear that somebody died in the ministry over in another country for the faith, would the first thing pop in your head? Well, they were blessed, weren't they? Well, that's kind of weird. No, they don't got to do this no more. They don't got to put up. They ain't got to drink no more Geritol, take no more pills, or do all that junk you have to do when you get older. My friend, they're with Jesus. What a blessing! That ain't how we look at it. Well, bless God, they was killed. I ain't going over there. You get killed over there. Well, praise God. Cheer up, Christians. We'll soon be dead. Some of y'all are like, that man's crazy up there. Who'd you bring up in here? You crazy man. Verse 4, 5,000 people were born again. The boys preached Jesus regardless of what those men said, of what they told them. Stop preaching. Nope. Stop it. Nope. Don't do it anymore. Am I going to follow God or man? You answer. I'm going to follow God. I ain't following you. I'm going to follow God. What them three Hebrew boys say? God will deliver us, but if he don't, we still not going to bow to you. We're going to still follow our God. That's the kind of resolve we got to have, amen. God blessed, and 5,000, listen, God blessed them in the tribulation, in the persecution. They were doing what they were supposed to do. It wasn't easy. Vacation Bible school ain't easy. That nursery over ain't easy. Teaching that Sunday school class, going and sharing your faith, knocking on the door, and you got no idea who's going to open that door and what's going to happen. That ain't easy. But boy, I tell you, it's blessed. God will bless it. And God blessed with 5,000 folk, my friend. They were not concerned about their welfare. That's the thing I need you to understand. Then in verse 24 through 26, people praised God. They prayed to God. No one lacked anything. Those who had been blessed gave it all back to the Lord. Uh-oh. Here he goes. Here it is. When's the last time you gave your hands and your feet and your eyes and your ears and your tongue, your mind, your heart? When's the last time you gave your husband or your wife? When's the last time you gave your kids to the Lord? Oh, no, I can't do that. God might take them. He can take them tonight. I gave my child to the Lord. He took her. And you know what he told me one day? He said, Randy, it's not what I did to you. It's what I did for her. Whew. Let me tell you something, honey. I've been good ever since. I said, okay, I got you, Lord. I'm good. Let's go. Don't sing it. Bring it. Let's go. Come on. I'm good. She's good. I'm good. Her mama ain't so good, but I'm good. I'm good with that. Well, That's just not smart when you give everything away. You ever heard somebody? That's just not appropriate. That's just not prudent. You need to save some back. Like manna? Y'all remember what happened to the manna? What did it do? Rotted. Some of y'all rotten. Listen, don't look at me and talk about them folk on TV, them hoarders, because we hoarders, amen? Some of y'all got a whole house full of stuff in the house. You need to build another house to put the stuff in. Oh, I can't throw that away. I might need it 10 years from now. My daddy died. Bless the Lord. If he'd have been there, I'd have. Took me 3 weeks to clean that shed out. There was coffee cans full of washers, nuts, bolts, hammers, little nails that had already been used. And I'm like, Jimmy, what can you do with a nail that's already been used? Well, you never know, son. I might need it. Y'all know somebody, ain't you? Now y'all looking at one another. Yeah. Some of y'all got mazagines. Y'all got books. Y'all, I don't know if y'all know what happened. Old boy down in Nassau County in Florida down there started burning some books and set the whole country on fire. And bless the Lord, them people, you know what they said? Brother, don't worry about it. It's okay. I like to fell out. I like to fell out. I thought, I guarantee you, they call him fair and fair. They're gonna get him. But they said, they on publicly on television, burned everything they had to the ground. And they said, and they called his name, don't fret. Don't worry about it. We're good. Yeah, but we had pictures. We had grandbaby pictures. You still got the grandbabies? You good. We had stuff that we had from long ago. You probably don't even know what it is. You know, State Farm wants you to write it down so that you can replace it. Well, let me go see. You don't even know what you got. Grandma's sewing machine. Grandma is gone, and you can't sew. So get over it and get rid of the thing. Put an altar in there. Some of y'all get mad right now. Don't be talking about my granddad's sewing machine. Woo! I keep waiting for a book to come flying at me, preacher. I'm kind of ducking down behind it. There it comes.